this is the next part of our topic of Srimadvendrapuri. And this is a very sober subject matter, very sober and serious. But at the same time, there's a little something that's humorous about this particular pastime. I can't stop thinking it's a little bit funny also. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very sober and serious, but also there was a joy. There's a joy about Krishna consciousness that can't be eradicated even when there is something that is serious subject matter. So this particular pastime describes the dealings of Lord Chaitanya with Ramachandrapuri. Ramachandrapuri was one of the disciples, direct disciple of Madhavendrapuri. So that means that he's the brother of Ishwarapuri. And now, I have to read a little from here and a little from there. I would like to read this to begin with, even though it refers to something we haven't heard yet. Ishwarapuri received the blessings of Madhavendrapuri, whereas Ramachandrapuri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwarapuri and Ramachandrapuri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. They're both here. Madhavendrapuri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. Madhavendrapuri, his divine grace Madhavendrapuri, says Srila Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the spiritual master of the entire world, thus distributed ecstatic love for Krishna. While passing away from this material world, he chanted the following verse. And that verse we're going to come to a little bit later. So now we're going to the Chaitanya Charitamrita in this particular pastime. So we'll hear a little and stop here and there, and then we'll see it again in the Papachara form. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Jagannath Puri with his devotees. Lord Chaitanya was feeling great separation from Krishna. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, he was relishing his mood of separation from Krishna, and he was acting not as Krishna himself, but as Krishna's pure devotee, to show us the highest level of love of God. When Krishna appears on this earth, he does not appear alone. He comes with all his associates. When Krishna appears, he also takes initiation from a spiritual master. So Krishna's spiritual master also appears in this world. And even Krishna's spiritual master's spiritual master appears, all in preparation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this world. And who is the Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, spiritual master? Oh, you're so clever. Very good. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ishwarapuri as his spiritual master, and Ishwarapuri's spiritual master was Sri Madhavendrapuri. The story of Ramachandrapuri's visit to Jagannath Puri illustrates the difference between a devotee who pleases and gets the blessings of his spiritual master and a devotee who displeases his spiritual master and is thus condemned by him. Sri Ishwarapuri was a very great servant of his spiritual master. And just before Sri Madhavendrapuri left his body, Ishwarapuri was rendering all sorts of personal service to him. He was always talking about Krishna. And he helped Madhavendrapuri remember Krishna at this time of his departure from his material world. And you think that if Ishwarapuri had not helped Madhavendrapuri to remember Krishna, he would have forgotten Krishna? No. Madhavendrapuri was practically, he was incapable, he was like an invalid at the end of his life. And so Madhavendrapuri's, all of his personal private service of cleaning him after he passed, everything was done by Ishwarapuri in a very devotional mood. Now, do you think that Madhavendrapuri, Ishwarapuri wasn't there? he would have had no one to take care of him and it would have been very difficult for him? No. So we consider the same as Srila Prabhupada in the last year of his presence in this world, that it was his pastime. We call it his vila of illness. And Srila Prabhupada himself called his Guru Maharaj the pastime of sickness. But if I get sick, it's not a pastime. It's very inconvenient, and I think I can say the same for most people who are here. But when Srila Prabhupada was sick, if you look at this video Yadavara Prabhu made called The Final Lesson, and you watch in there, they have a microphone this close to Srila Prabhupada's mouth. And Prabhupada's, all of his face is totally emaciated. He has no flesh underneath. Between his skin and his bones, there's nothing. He hadn't eaten for many, many months. And Srila Prabhupada's lying there, and the devotees are very close to him with the microphone this far from his mouth, so he can barely whisper. And what is he doing? He's translating purports for the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, the prayers of Lord Brahma. And Srila Prabhupada continued with a steady mind to do these translations. It's most astonishing to see. Because, if we, you know, I don't know, I'm a little weepy, you know, to tell the truth. But if I get a headache, it's difficult for me to manage things. And if I get a stomachache, I have to go to bed. But there's Srila Prabhupada with absolutely no comfort in his body. So many discomforts in his body, but a completely clear mind. Completely transcendental and clear mind. Continuing his service under all difficulties. So Madhavendra Puri was also like that. So Ishvara Puri was serving him in a very personal way. And he understood the exalted nature of Madhavendra Puri. So he was not thinking, oh, I can do the name of Krishna, so he won't forget Krishna at the time of death. But just out of his devotion to his own Krishna bhakti, he was spontaneously and naturally always speaking of Krishna to Madhavendra Puri. Later, as a result of this, becoming very dear to his spiritual master for his care and for his devotional attitude, his spiritual master, he received his blessings and pure love for Krishna became manifest in his heart. And later, Sri Ishvara Puri became the spiritual master of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Imagine being the spiritual master of God. Wow. That's very profound. So this is the Supreme Personality showing us the ideal, perfect example of a devotee. Just like Prabhupada says, if the students, little children in the first grade in school, they're learning how to write, read and write. So the teacher who's gone through so many years of study and adult with many, many skills and qualifications is writing A, and all those little children look at A and they think, oh, that's hard. And they try very hard to write an A and then a B, oh no, all right, and we try and write a B and on they go with their education. And for the little children, it's a little difficult to do all these things perhaps. They're not necessarily so bright. And the teacher is doing the same simple thing. So if the child thinks, my teacher, he just knows the alphabet, that's all. A bit better than me. And we know that's a child's perspective. Because, of course, the teacher, he has to be excellent in order to make an excellent example for his students, so his student can also become excellent. So Srila Prabhupada showed us an ideal example, and he followed the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who himself, although everybody could understand that he's the Supreme Lord, playing the part of the teacher. He's the PhD, unlimitedly so, teaching the ABC. But still, he insisted, no, 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 I'm just a devotee, a humble fallen devotee. Please do not speak all of these things to me when they would glorify him as being the Lord himself. Meanwhile, his other disciple, Ramachandra Puri, he also came at this time, at the end of the passing away of Madhavendra Puri. He came to visit his spiritual master as he was preparing to leave this world. And at this time, Ramachandrapuri heard his spiritual master chanting the name of Krishna, very nice, but he was also crying out, "Oh my Lord, I did not get the shelter of Mathura." And Ramachandrapuri was listening to this, and he was a little bit foolish. So he dared to instruct his spiritual master, and he said to him, "If you are so full of transcendental bliss, chanting Krishna, 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 you should always remember Brahman." And he quoted him from Bhagavad Gita, "Na sochati, na kanchati." There should not be any lamentation, nothing. You should be full of bliss. Brahman is full of bliss. You should be full of bliss. He told him he should remember Brahman. "Why are you crying?" he said. And in this way, Ramachandrapuri committed a great offense, because the disciple should not try to instruct the spiritual master. Ramachandrapuri could not understand that his spiritual master was feeling transcendental separation from Krishna. So when he sang, "I'm very fallen," just like sometimes, let me think, there's a kind of bhajan, I can't remember the Bengali word now, I think it's called vikshepa, something like that. A kind of song in Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in their songbooks that they, many songbooks were made. And this particular type of bhajan is called a lamentation. And there's two kinds, there's a lamentation, and there's a lamentation in relationship to perfection. So one lamentation is just like Hari Hari Bifale. "Oh, I've wasted my life. I have unconsciously have forgotten Radha and Krishna, and I have knowingly drunk poison." So it's a lament. "Look at me. I am not a very, very serious advanced devotee." And some great exalted devotees wrote these songs. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote songs like this. So if you listen to the song literally and think, "He says he's not a very advanced devotee, so he said he's not an advanced devotee, so I'm just telling him he's not a very advanced devotee," then you make a mistake. If you think that he's actually advanced and he's just doing this for me, you also make another mistake. Because actually he's very advanced and he feels like this at the same time. This is very astonishing, because we might think, in a material sense, well, if somebody's very advanced, they've got any problems, everything's happy now, everything's good. So, I'm not so advanced, I'm not going to struggle, but they must not have any problems. And what? He has a problem? No. But he sees himself always in relationship to Krishna, and seeing Krishna's greatness, he feels his own inferiority. So this is different than the inferiority we feel when our mind becomes afflicted by some disturbance and we feel like, "Oh, I'm so unfortunate, I can't do this, I'm incapable of doing this." That's a material lament. One time the devotee asked Prabhupada, "If we think, 'Oh, I am not a very good devotee, I cannot be Krishna conscious,' is that spiritual or material?" And Prabhupada said, "It is material." So we have these kind of laments. Madhavendra is lamenting like this. He's not lamenting in the same way. He's not hopeless. And yet he feels hopeless. This is quite inconceivable. So this was the highest, his lamentation was not material. It was from the highest stage of ecstatic love for Krishna. And even though he could not understand his spiritual master, Ramachandrapuri thought he was very advanced. He considered himself qualified to instruct his spiritual master, and therefore he advised Madhavendrapuri to remember Brahman, because actually he had some impersonalism. He was a bit of an impersonalist. Madhavendrapuri, on the other side, could understand the foolish nature of Ramachandrapuri, and he became extremely angry, and he told him to get out. "Get out immediately, you rascal." And then he prayed to Krishna and he said, "Oh, my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode of Mathura. I am dying in pain and happiness, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain." So this was the way he responded to his disciple. to teach us something, something very important. Madhavendra Puri is teaching to the very moment as he leaves this world, and thereafter his teaching is meant for us. He told Ramachandra Puri, do not show your face to me. You can go any place you like, because if I die seeing your face, I will not achieve the destination of my life. I am dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. But this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. In this way, Madhavendra Puri rejected Ramachandra Puri, and because of his offenses, gradually material desires appeared within his heart. And this is a very interesting phenomenon, how when offenses are made, gradually material desires occur. And this is, if one reason, many reasons of course, is because it is by Krishna's mercy that we are being protected from our material desires. If we're able to go on with our devotional service, even though we know I have so many material desires, but somehow I am continuing on my devotional path, it is not because of my excellence. It is because Krishna is helping me. He's supporting me. Even though I'm not completely stable in my Krishna conscious focus. But if some offense is made, then what happens is Krishna slackens a little bit. Because an offense means that we have made some gesture that is not pleasing to Krishna, because ultimately the offense is towards Krishna. So he's not pleased. So if Krishna's not pleased, it's like as if inside he goes, and you know, a very excellent teacher, when a student is misbehaved, they go, no. And they don't give response to that misbehavior. They don't enter into it. A very inexperienced teacher, the child is misbehaving, they say, why are you doing that? You should do this. Why don't you do that? Don't you see this? Look at that. If you do that, you can't do this. And they go on and on and on and on, focusing on the misbehavior. But Krishna, he doesn't do that. He just remains very silent. And you can feel it. I've done something. I'm not quite sure what it is. I don't feel quite the same way as I was feeling before. And if one is intelligent spiritually, one searches, I wonder what I've done. I can feel there's something not quite right. What happened? And even if one can immediately rectify the situation, one becomes aware that Krishna has changed his attitude towards me. And if one can rectify the situation very quickly or desire to, then Krishna immediately starts smiling at you again. Very good, very good, very nice, you're doing very nicely. But until you make that rectification, then Krishna will remain. It's as if he changes his attitude. So here, then what happens is, if you don't recognize it, if you're a stubborn person, or you don't see it, or you're a proud person, then what you do is you say, oh, anyway, who cares? So get on with my life. And there's a little vacancy now, because Krishna is not reciprocating so fully with you backwards and forwards. So in that little vacant place, we have some room and space and time and so forth, and we start looking at the world, because we're not looking at Krishna. We see something we like or something we like, and material desires start to grow up again. So there's something very serious to be understood here in relationship to offenses. If one approaches a spiritual master simply in search of knowledge, his gain is only dry speculative knowledge. He doesn't get any spiritual profit. Even if one is liberated, if he offends the Supreme Lord or his devotee, he falls down because of so many material desires. Now, Ramachandra Puri had one particularly strong material desire. Do you know what it was? If anyone knows about Ramachandra Puri, what was his desire? To criticize them. Feeding was part of his criticism. He enjoyed finding faults with other people. He got a lot of pleasure from this. He'd go around and he would examine Vaishnavas. And he'd check them out quite thoroughly. And as we were hearing, there were tests, well, he'd test them. But he'd test them in somewhat unfair ways. So you can hear about this. So what he would do was he had a program. He decided that he should go and visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees and see what they were doing, how they were passing their time in Jagannath Puri. So Ramachandra Puri visited Jagannath Puri, and his program was to visit various Vaishnavas whilst they were taking their meals. He could do this even without an invitation. So there was no certainty where he would go for his meals. He could come any time. When he visited the devotees, he was very particular to notice exactly how they were eating. Ramachandra Puri would eat very sumptuously himself. And then he would feed the devotees. And he would encourage them to please take a little more, please. Just a little more, just to please me. A little more. He'd feed them and feed them and feed them. And at one time he visited Jagannatha Pandit to take his meals. So a large quantity of prasadam was brought from the Jagannath temple for distribution. And Ramachandra Puri ate sumptuously, and then he wanted to find some fault in Jagannatha Pandit. So after finishing his meal, he told Jagannatha, "You have all the prasadam that is left." And then he seated him down, and he personally served him prasadam. So nicely. That's nice. Vaishnava is such a humble sannyasi. He's his senior. Look how nicely he's taking care of his junior. So he fed him very nicely. Encouraging him again and again, he fed Jagannatha sumptuously. And when Jagannatha finished eating and began to wash his hands, Ramachandra Puri said, I have heard that the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat more than necessary. And now I have personally seen that it is true." So this was his program. He would go from devotee to devotee, induce them to eat more than they need, and criticize them. This became his pleasure. Now, this pastime, as you see, when we see it as a puppet show, it's a little humorous. It's kind of funny because it's a little funny that he would do this. But it represents something very grave, the tendency to help others, but at the same time to be sort of judging them, and, you know, trying to check up on them, and then giving a report on them. And this is certainly a characteristic of the conditioned soul's heart. So therefore we are asked to learn something very serious, from, even though it's like sometimes the best way to give medicine, if you have some bitter medicines, you put it in some honey, and you put it in the child's mouth, and before it's almost down before they realize that it tastes quite bitter. So sometimes it's the best way to get a lesson across. It's to make it a little humorous, but at the same time there's an element of truth, so you sort of have to think, yes, I have to think about that. So Ramachandra Puri was doing this, going here and there, in this way, and eventually, of course, he decided he should investigate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because after all, he was the leader. So if the followers are like this, we should check up on their leader. So he was trying to find out about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he took his lunch, how he slept, how much he slept, and so on. Because he was only interested in finding faults, he could not understand the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His only concern was finding faults. But he could not find any fault with the Supreme Lord. So this was difficult for him. Because after all, this was his task. And he was doing it as a Vaishnava sannyasi. He wasn't doing it as an ordinary critical person of this world. He would have more about his dunder with him when he gave back all the lessons that he had to teach people when he found the fault in them. But at last, with great effort, he found the fault. He started saying, "How can a person in the renounced order eat so many sweets? If one eats sweets, controlling the senses is very difficult." And in this way he started to criticize Lord Chaitanya in front of everyone, even though he would go every day and pay his visit and be very, very cordial at the same time. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramachandra Puri met, Lord Chaitanya would offer him respectful obeisances, considering him a god brother of his spiritual master. But Ramachandra Puri's business, however, was just searching for faults. Lord Chaitanya was aware of the nature of Ramachandra Puri. He also knew that he was a Mayavadi. He was not a Vaishnava. And that he was a blasphemer. And that he was only actually interested in faults. So what was Mahaprabhu's reaction to this? He treated Ramachandra Puri as his spiritual master's god brother. And he respected him practically on the same level as his spiritual master. He didn't waver. His Vaishnava, transcendental Vaishnava etiquette was followed strictly. He treated Ramachandra Puri with the greatest amount of respect, although he knew all of this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Ramachandra Puri was criticizing him in front of everyone, but whenever he came to see him, he offered him great respect and attention. So one day Ramachandra Puri came to the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the morning, and he saw that there were quite a few ants going here and there, as ants do, making tracks across the room. And he immediately came out with it. He didn't tell anybody else, but now was his chance. He saw all these ants, and he immediately became disturbed, and he said, "Last night, there was sugar candy here. Therefore, all these ants are wandering about this way and that way. Alas," he said, "this renounced sannyasi is actually attached to sense gratification." After finding this imaginary fault with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stood up, became completely disappointed and disgusted, and he left. Then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw this, what he had heard, he actually saw it. And he decided, first he was doubtful and apprehensive, even though he's the Supreme Lord, playing the part of a devotee, as playing the part of a devotee, he's apprehensive. He's my superior. He's finding some fault, imaginary fault. What to do? So what did he do? Did he think, "I have to straighten this all out"? No. He told his personal servant, Govinda, "From today, I will only accept half as much prasadam as usual. If you bring me any more prasadam than this, I will leave this place immediately and you will not see me here anymore." Oh, when Govinda told all the devotees this news, they became very upset. They felt as if they had got a thunderbolt on their heads. They said, condemning Ramachandra Puri, "This sinful man has come here and taken our lives." And after this, both Govinda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only ate half as much as usual. And because of this, all the other devotees gave up eating completely. They fasted. Some days passed in great unhappiness. And then Ramachandra Puri heard what had happened. And he again came to visit Lord Chaitanya. And this time he offered his obeisances. The Lord offered his obeisances to Ramachandra Puri. And Ramachandra Puri smiled very condescendingly. And he instructed him and he said, "It is certainly not the business of a sannyasi to gratify his senses. He should fill his belly somehow or another. But I have now heard that you have cut your eating in half. Indeed, I can see you're quite thin. This is dry renunciation. And this is not the religion of a sannyasi. You see, a sannyasi eats as much as necessary to maintain his body. So you see, he finds a fault and preach. But the fault wasn't there." So he says, the sannyasi eats as much as necessary to maintain his body, but he does not enjoy satisfying his senses materially. And therefore, he becomes perfect in spiritual advancement. He quoted Bhagavad Gita just to make his point. That there is no possibility of becoming a yogi if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or sleeps not enough. You have to be temperate in your habits of eating and sleeping and working and so forth. So he gave him this very nice instruction from the Bhagavad Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very humbly submitted to this. He said, I am just like an ignorant boy, and I am like your disciple. It is my great fortune that you are instructing me. And after hearing this, he was satisfied and he got up and he left. And then he heard also from many other people who said that, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not eating as much as usual. So we can see from this how Ramachandra Puri was such a critic that he even criticized the Lord. And the Lord, he criticized him for eating too much. Then he criticized him for eating too little. And this is so different, is it not, from Ishwara Puri, who gave the other example of a perfect disciple, full of love and devotion for his spiritual master, taking care of any menial needs that were required, and reminding him constantly of Krishna with great respect and care. So there are two different examples. This is the difference between Ishwara Puri, who got the blessings of Madhavendra Puri, and Ramachandra Puri, who displeased his spiritual master. But the amazing thing is that all along, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected Ramachandra Puri as being almost on an equal level with his spiritual master. Isn't that amazing? The devotees couldn't do it. It was not their position to do it. Because they were seeing that he's committing offenses, so it was not their position to respect him in that way. But they had to restrain themselves because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was treating him with such care and attention, even though he was making these things up. When people came to criticize Ramachandra Puri, Chaitanya would say, why are you angry with him? He's explaining the natural principles of sannyas life. Why are you accusing him? For a sannyasi to indulge in too much eating is a real offense. And a sannyasi should only eat what is needed to keep the body and soul together. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya respected Ramachandra Puri, even though Ramachandra Puri was a blasphemer and a Mayavadi. Sometimes he treated him as his master and considered himself as a servant. And sometimes the Lord completely ignored him and treated him like a piece of straw. So both were there. Such are the wonderful, inconceivable pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya behaved exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beyond the restriction of anyone's intelligence. Whatever he liked, he did. But his activities were always very beautiful. Ramachandra Puri stayed for, unfortunately, only a short visit because he had many places to go and many devotees to meet and many things to check up on. So he stayed for a short while and then he went to visit another holy place of pilgrimage. As soon as Ramachandra Puri left Jagannath Puri, all the devotees became extremely happy. As if a great burden, oh, it was so difficult to test, had been lifted from their shoulders. And after his departure, everything in Jagannath Puri was back to normal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his normal invitations, his usual prasad, and led the congregation of chanting of the holy names. So if a spiritual master rejects someone, he becomes so fallen that he, like Ramachandra Puri, commits offenses even to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who has given us such a wonderful, ecstatic, transcendental English translation of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, so that we can have some idea of the life and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, does anyone have any questions? And if not, if there's no burning questions, we should look at the puppet show. Oh, yes, there are a few. Yes.
Guru Tattva, that even if your spiritual master says something which is wrong, that's actually right, because he's saying it. So I was struggling with that, thinking, what if the spiritual master says, like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Guru of Ishvara Puri?
Well, I think Srila Prabhupada said he's wrong. I was listening, he was telling the story, and I think it was in 1966. He was telling the story of the Brahmin and the cobbler and Narada Muni. And he gets into the story, begins the story, and he's telling, and I haven't got it right in the foreground of my memory right now. But he goes on and says, the Narada Muni is Vishnu, and he's such and such, and I know the story. And at the time when I listened to it, I thought, you made a mistake. It did cross my mind. You made a mistake. But then I thought, so what? There's so many things that are perfect in what he says. So he makes a little slip. And then later on, as he made the mistake, he realized, oh, and then he corrected it. So this is not where perfection lies. That one can't make a slip of the tongue or call somebody the wrong name or something like that. But the perfection of the spiritual master is in how much he's dedicating his time and his energy and his personality and his resources to try to please his spiritual master. So when you can see that, that's the primary characteristic. The secondary characteristics then may be this spiritual master, that with this one, personality is different and so forth. But the primary one is the one that an intelligent disciple has to focus on. So sometimes, you know, as a less intelligent disciple, we focus on the other one. Why did he say that? And probably even when he came to Melbourne, people would ask him questions, young devotees, and he would give an answer to that question. And then gradually you realize now, looking for myself, looking at those videos, he couldn't understand their English. So they asked a question. Sometimes Mahavisa Swami, who was in charge at the time, he would re-present the question to Srila Prabhupada, and then he would understand and change his answer. But his answers, ironically, were perfect. So it's a very mysterious thing. Guru Tattva is very difficult to understand. If you think it is difficult to understand, it's because it is. Because there's a juncture here, you see, of a human being and transcendental potency. So this juncture is very subtle. And sometimes we just say, oh, that's just a human being. And it's also said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the one purport of the Eastern Upanishad says that we have like a scale, you know, this kind of scale that goes up and down. As the spiritual increases, the material naturally decreases. So somebody can be very spiritually serious and the material decreases. But if they decrease the spiritual, the material will increase. So we see this ourselves. Sometimes we're more spiritually inclined than others. So it's a very difficult task to be a spiritual master because you have to represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's all perfect. So as a disciple, one should have a very healthy respect and appreciation for what the spiritual master has taken upon himself to do and how he's taken upon himself to particularly assist me. Because I'm not a very qualified disciple, but he's taken myself also. So the Prabhupada on one tape I was listening to recently, he was saying that the spiritual master, he said, the spiritual master will come back time after time, life after life. He said, to retrieve those disciples. He said, don't put him to the test. Don't test this. He said, that is a sign of a not very good disciple. So we should try to be in the excellent quality, excellent bracket of disciples, and then Krishna will be pleased. And if we can't make it, that's all right, because our endeavor is going in that direction. Krishna says he will help us. So that assistance will be what we really require to actually achieve anything at all practically in spiritual life. Question? Oh yes, but that's quite funny. We'll leave it until later. First we have to dwell on the serious nature of this lesson for us in this pastime. When you find out who Madhavendra Puri is, everything makes sense. Yes. I'll tell you later. very brave. Yes. Who's helping you in your spiritual life or helping you in your life? In life. Okay, yes, 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 yes. 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 This happens all the time. Yes. Yeah. Or they give you some help there. It's like, for example, on this level, you can see that now morality and good qualities have become a commercial product. So a company will be doing all kinds of exploitative things and giving some money to a charity. They find a way to make some money from being a good person. So individuals also, they may help you, but they may have some ulterior motive as well. Is that what you're saying? So they may actually appear to be helping you, but actually they're trying to hold on to you or keep you away from something else. Yes, definitely you see these things in life.
What makes it really worth it? There are people who try to push you down. It's okay, you know, but this is like in a disguise form.
Yes.
So that makes this more serious.
Yes, because you can't see it, but actually they have some malintent. These things go on all the time. This is, practically speaking, how material life works. Because the basis is envy. So when you can see it, somebody has a stone and they're going to throw it at you, you can duck. If they're hiding behind a tree, then you don't know where it came from. Actually, this is the nature of politics. What politics means that somebody hits you, but you don't know who it was. This is... you think it was him, but... yes. Yes, Prabhu. There's no other mention of him in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or anywhere. But I think that, you see, as I said, there's a lesson that's serious here for us, but because this is the pastime also, Ramachandra Puri, on the pastime level, is obviously a great personality, but he's playing the part for our instruction. So, there's no other mention. He plays this particular role and then he goes to another holy place. Yes. Yes, Santa. This, unfortunately, is a question I cannot answer. I have not met him. And I cannot actually answer this question. But I think there's an element of a pastime in here. So pastime means, just like we were asked the question, how could Balaram like Duryodhan? How could he want to marry Subhadra to Duryodhan? Well, there has to be some tension, some excitement in life. So if everybody says yes, yes, yes to the same thing, it's not that it's boring. So Sri Krishna's pastime is not boring. So somebody will do something like this. Yes.
In this pastime, you see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu treated Ramachandra Puri as a respite and just considering his senior status. Is that the lesson for us, for example, in the devotee?
Yes.
Within the congregation, accepting a man like Ramachandra Puri.
Yes, definitely. Yes, sorry to cut you off, but there's definitely a point here of how to treat somebody who is an offender. And this is a very serious point. How to treat somebody if they're offending me, or how to treat somebody if they're offending others. Particularly, what do I do if they're a superior person? You know, if they're just a junior person, I can give them some advice and direction, but if they're a senior person, how to treat them? And this does come up in the Association of Devotees. And one thing I can say is that generally speaking, if you treat a person with respect, first, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do everything they say. And secondly, your side is clear. There's no difficulty from your side. Whatever problem, it remains their problem. But you remain true to your values. So this is very important. But let me explain to you. See, please excuse me, we're going backwards and forwards between the serious nature of the lesson and the pastime itself. So I'll explain to you, if you know who the personality of Ramachandra Puri is in Krishna's pastimes, it will make a lot of sense. So Ramachandra Puri, he appears as Ramachandra Puri, it is Jatila. So Jatila, for those who do not know, she lives in Javat, in Vrindavan, and she's the mother-in-law. Now this is for those who do not know the law, the pastimes of Vrindavan, it may sound confusing. So you'll have to ask me about it after, but she is the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani. And she is always criticizing Krishna and looking for some fault in him, and also in Srimati Radharani for possibly having met with Krishna. And this heightens the pleasurable nature of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So this is the other side. And another thing I will say about this pastime is that one time, many long, long years ago, we did this play with the Gurukula children in Gita Nagari. And we had one boy who was very clever. His name is Yudhisthira. He's the son of Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who is one of our senior men in the society. He played Ramachandra Puri. And another devotee, who's a very nice boy, he played Lord Chaitanya. But he wasn't so charismatic and witty. And so, anyway, we put on this play. At that time, we had some senior devotees who were present. And as soon as Yudhisthira came out playing the part of Ramachandra Puri, he had everyone laughing so much because he did so well and he was so clever and so funny. And I noticed that these two senior members who were there, they weren't laughing quite as much as everybody else, but we were all laughing. And the boy who played Lord Chaitanya, he was kind of quite passive and quiet. And later one of them came to my husband and said, next time you perform that play, you should reverse the active. Because it became the life of Ramachandra Puri. And Ramachandra Puri became the star. So I guess also they're all a little like Ramachandra Puri, so we can identify with him. And we have to learn to identify with the other. So now let us play the puppet show.
Ramachandra Puri's spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, was at the last stage of his life and was deeply experiencing love for Krishna.
Oh, my Lord Krishna, oh, merciful master, oh, master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because by not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. Oh, most beloved one, what shall I do now? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Guruji, what is this? You should not lament or cry.
Ramachandra Puri.
Remember Bhagavad Gita. Now, Sochiti means never lament. Sochiti means no desire to have anything. You should become firmly fixed in knowledge.
What are you saying?
Rama Bhuta Pratanatma. Remember,
do not speak like this to me.
Now is the time to become fully aware of Brahman, the great, formless, impersonal life.
Get out! Get out! I don't want to see your face. If I die seeing you, I will not be able to go back to home, Mr. Godhead. Go away immediately.
Yes, Guruji. Remember Brahman and be joyful.
Go away! Oh, my Lord, I'm dying without achieving your shelter. Therefore, I'm feeling great unhappiness. And now this rascal disciple of mine comes to give me propane by instructing me about Brahman.
Ramachandra Puri, for his great offense of foolishly instructing his spiritual master, was condemned. Years later.
Ah, Ramachandra Puri. Please accept my obeisances. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
So you finally come.
Yes, I've been touring. And on my travels, I've seen many, many holy places. Each holy place I've seen whichever form of God that was worshipped there.
How long will you be staying?
Actually, I wish to live here. But as I am renounced, being a sannyasi, swami, goswami, or gosai, name my title as you wish. But in any case, I've been fully renounced sometimes, here and sometimes, exhibit my opulence of renunciation and leave.
Do you remember, I would like you to meet my godbrother, Ramachandra Puri.
Oh, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Please honor me by taking prasadam at my home today.
Thank you, thank you. I've been eagerly awaiting to eat with the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I have heard much about their eating habits.
Huh?
Let's go.
Please sit down, and I'll bring your lunch, Jagannath Mahaprasad.
Oh, very nice arrangement. Very, very, very nice prasad. More rice, please. More sugi. Rice. This is so enjoyable. Rice. Oh. Sweet, please. More sweet, please. More sweet, please. Sugi and rice. A little more rice on the sugi on the dal. A little more rice. Thank you. Sweet, please. One more sweet. One more, please. And a little rice. Excuse me. And one more sweet. And a little bit more of the sweet subject. Thank you. You've certainly taken nice care of me. Now, I have a request for you.
What's that?
Please listen, my dear Jagannanda. You sit right down here, and you eat prasadam. I want you to eat prasadam. You eat what's left.
No, that isn't necessary. I'll eat later.
No. You take prasadam now, and I will personally serve you.
Please, no.
I insist. Sit right here and enjoy Lord Jagannath's remnants. Okay? Thank you. Now, first you eat rice. Here's some dal and sabji. Okay. Here's some more rice, dal, and sabji.
I think that's enough, thank
you. No. You must take more rice. Here's some more dal and rice, and here's sweets.
But I can't eat so much. Please stop.
My dear boy, you can't refuse what Jagannath's remnants. Here's some more rice, more dal, and here's that sweet sabji that was so good.
Oh, no.
But I insist. Here's some sweet bowl. And here's some yogurt and rice. And here's dal there. And here's some more sabji and rice. And here's some sweets. Okay. Now, have you taken to your full satisfaction?
Oh, yes.
Go and wash your hands and mouth. And when you return, I have something very serious that I want to speak to you of. Aha! It is just as I had thought. Graceful! I had previously heard that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate what's necessary. Now, I have seen for myself that it is true.
What?
First, you forced me to overeat. Were you trying to destroy my renunciation?
I made you eat too much?
Then, you greedily started eating. How you insisted on eating more and more simply
bountifully abhorring. I'll make it my duty to check up on how these devotees eat and sleep. I'll especially gather information on their leader, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So the envious Ramachandra Puri began searching for faults in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other devotees. He would arrive uninvited at someone's house and demand food. After being fed, he would carefully keep records on how much everyone else ate. However, although Ramachandra Puri searched and searched, he still could not discover any fault in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
How can a person who renounces the world of life eat so many treats? And you all consider yourself followers of that sweet meat eater, don't you? Well, I'm going to Sri Chaitanya's house now for my daily inspection. I mean visit. I'm going to thoroughly search for evidence.
Oh, you are a good brother of my spiritual master and also an honored guest.
Just see, just as I thought, ants are walking everywhere. Here is the proof. Last night, you ate sugar candy here, didn't you? alas, it's me now, sannyasi.
I had heard rumors about Ramachandra Puri's blasphemy, and now I have seen for myself the imaginary faults he finds. Govinda, please come here.
Yes, Mahaprabhu.
Tell the devotees that from today on I will eat a few cornfuls of rice only and a small amount of vegetables.
Oh, no. Why?
Tell them if they offer me more than this, they will not see me in Jagannath Puri anymore.
Of the small quantity of rice that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, he only ate half, and the rest was taken by his servant Govinda. Seeing this, the devotees in Jagannath Puri felt as if their heads had been struck by thunder, and so they also gave up eating. When Ramachandra Puri heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reduced eating, he again went to see the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna.
I have already explained to you that a sannyasi shouldn't eat for sense pleasure. Indeed, I see that you are either.
My good fortune is that you are instructing me.
Remember the Bhagavad Gita. That yes, that has to your host eat. One cannot perform that he eats more than necessary or needlessly fast. I must regulate his eating and his sleeping while practicing Mystic Yoga.
The next day, Paramananda Puri approached Sri Chaitanya with great humility.
Sri Chaitanya, my god brother Ramachandra Puri is nothing but a harsh critic. Why cut your eating in half?
Sannyasis naturally favor austerity.
That may be true, but why take his word seriously? First, he artfully tricks someone into overeating, and then criticizes him saying,
"You eat too much. How much money do you have in your treasury?"
The sannyasi who eats to satisfy his tongue deserves criticism.
Then Ramachandra Puri overeats. He criticizes his host, saying,
"You force me, sannyasi, to overeat. I can understand you're not advanced."
A sannyasi's business is eating only.
Ramachandra Puri's business is only fault finding. He researches how others eat and how they live their lives. He never sees good in anyone. Even if a person has hundreds of good qualities, Sri Chaitanya, why take his petty fault-finding seriously? Please eat as much as you were eating before. That is my request.
My dear Paramananda Puri, and shall still eat only half as much as usual.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted independently. At times, he heeded Ramachandra Puri's critical words, and at other times, he didn't listen at all. Thus, the Lord allowed the devotees of Jagannath Puri to observe Ramachandra Puri's fault-finding character and see firsthand the devastating effect offending one's spiritual master has upon one's devotional service. One day, however...
Haribol! Haribol! Have you heard?
What?
He's suddenly exhibited opulence of renunciation.
Has he really?
Ramachandra Puri has gone on pilgrimage!
Haribol!
India has so many holy places to visit.
I feel as if a great stone has suddenly fallen off my head to the ground.
Me too. Let's immediately start kirtan. Hare!
I've got a better idea. Let's take prasada.
Hare bol! Hare bol! Hare bol! Hare bol!
As soon as Ramachandra Puri left, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, began accepting invitations from his devotees as before, and the residents of Jagannath Puri again began honoring prasadam to their full satisfaction.
So there we see a humorous version of this very serious pastime. But I think we have to have a sense of humor as well. Otherwise, it's too hard. Krishna consciousness has a lightness as well as a serious side. So we can take the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and with that mercy we can learn how to become gradually, step by step, as quickly as possible, serious, strong devotees, and give that message to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to others as well. So thank you very much.